What's your favorite holiday?
Nope.
It's Thanksgiving.
It is. Welcome to the Brewness Podcast, all the news that's fit to be brewed. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Laura.
And today, it's Gobble Gobble.
Woohoo!
Gobble 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 Gobble.
So what exactly are we talking about?
Gobble 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 Gobble. I'm going to do the whole
turkey
episode.
Day!
Whole episode in turkey talk.
Oh, good. Must translate.
Yes. Good luck, La. Good luck. We're going to do Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about really what you need to serve at your Thanksgiving meal. Mm. I realized we've done some guides for like certain things like Cinco de Mayo. We gave the history of Cinco de Mayo, but also like traditional Mexican beers, things that you expect to have from there. We did St. Patty's Day. We weren't doing a guide for what to drink for St. Patty's Day, but we did do like these are Irish beers and the history of Irish beers. And we did for Christmas. We've actually done mine and Travis's like party six packs. What would you bring for a Christmas party? I realized we probably should do it for Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is kind of a big eating and drinking holiday. It is one of like the big family get together days. And anytime you have a lot of family getting together, you have a lot of food, you have a lot of drink.
So depending on your family.
Depending on your family. But you want to make sure you're serving the right things. There's nothing worse than getting too full on your drink or just having like a really bad wine at your dinner. So we're going to do beer and wine tonight. So we're not just a beer podcast today.
Hmm.
But so let's talk about a little bit briefly the history of Thanksgiving. So while we think of Thanksgiving as a U.S. holiday, Thanksgiving is actually celebrated in a couple other countries, including Canada, Grenada, St. Lucia, and Liberia. The U.S. is the only one that actually celebrates on the fourth Thursday of November. Everyone else usually celebrates a bit earlier. This is something I realized early on. Thanksgiving at its core, fundamentally, it is a harvest festival. Now, what other famous harvest festivals do we have out there, Laura?
Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
The best fest.
Oktoberfest, the best fest. Oktoberfest is one of the most popular and most well-known harvest festivals. Really, when you think about Thanksgiving, it's a one-day Oktoberfest as opposed to a three-week Oktoberfest. Germans definitely do it right. As with many things in the U.S., Thanksgiving began in England, as most of our things did. As a general day of Thanksgiving under Henry VIII after the Reformation. So this was done actually to allow the Protestants some holidays because all the Catholics have a bunch of high holy days and medium and low holy days, but they have a lot of holidays that didn't exist once the Reformation occurred. So really, we get to thank a horny English king who really wanted a divorce for Thanksgiving.
Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Of course, some of our originally founding members of the U.S. English side are Puritans. So Puritans, or it's Pertans as I wrote it, took this a little too far.
For lots of things.
They did a lot of things like this. So they took the idea of removing some of those Catholic holidays and they said, no holidays. We should only have two types of holidays, days of fasting and days of Thanksgiving. Days of fasting.
are these plural? We can do more than one?
You can do more than one, but you never know when the holiday is going to occur because the holiday occurs in response to something that happens.
Oh.
So unlike, you know, Henry VIII saying these are our days of Thanksgiving and saying on the calendar, here's 40 holidays or whatever they have.
I don't like that. You can't plan your vacations.
Oh, there's no vacations.
It's the Puritan society.
They don't vacation. That's crazy talk, Laura. So I think my notes here say, like most things Puritan, this is silly and should never have been a thing. Unfortunately, it was. It's wild to think about because this is all happening in the late 1500s, early 1600s. Like
this is a historical rabbit hole Andrew's trying to go down.
It's awesome.
I'm going to pull him out. Come on.
Fine. All right. So what are days of fasting? We won't cover them because they're terrible and they went away very quickly. But fundamentally, days of fastings were done in response to unexpected disasters, whereas days of Thanksgiving were done in response to perceived blessings from God. Some of these blessings included defeating the Spanish Armada. Yep. Yep. Also, the failure of the gunpowder plot, which ultimately led to Guy Fawkes Day on November 5th. Mm-hmm. They were trying to blow up Parliament. That's the gunpowder plot. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. The first consistent Thanksgivings in North America were most likely actually held in Canada. And as Canadian Thanksgiving is the second Monday in October, that's closer in time to a true harvest festival. So if you're looking for like the true North American Thanksgiving, it's probably the Canadian version. And they actually borrowed a little bit from the English tradition as well as the French tradition to create their Thanksgiving Day.
I'm really digging the Monday in October.
Uh-huh.
That just makes for a very nice, hopefully long weekend.
Yeah. I saw something today that was saying Thanksgiving is the middle child of holidays because you have Halloween, on one side, the Thanksgiving right in the middle, and then you have Christmas on the other end. It really is the middle child. It gets overlooked all the time.
So does that mean in Canada, you go from Thanksgiving to Halloween, and then after October 31st, it's fair game for Christmas?
Probably. It sounds like it.
Huh.
Now, they do have fun holidays in Canada, like 2-4 Day, which is, I believe, the Monday before U.S. Memorial Day. Over the course, you're supposed to drink a 2-4, which is a 24-pack of beer over the course of the day.
That's not a bank holiday.
There is a bank holiday. They just don't, but colloquially, it's known as 2-4 Day.
Got it.
Okay. So let's talk about U.S. Thanksgiving, because that's what we're doing today. U.S. Thanksgiving ultimately comes back to two events. One is real. One is probably apocryphal. Setting, 1619, Charles City, County, Virginia. 38 English settlers arrived in Berkeley Hundred. A hundred is a small British settlement generally consisting of 100 families, so they just called it Berkeley Hundred. They held a religious celebration as dictated by the charter that they had when they left England, that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. So this is not a traditional story in U.S. schools, but this is actually a very well-documented event that occurred. Hmm. It's just literally, hey, we landed. Thanksgiving. Yay.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah, like that actually makes more sense than the story that we are told, because the story we're told actually takes place 2 years later. So the story we're told takes place in 1621 in Plymouth, I can't spell Massachusetts. So this is the Feast of Thanksgiving that we're always told that the Pilgrims had with the local Wampanoag tribe and the Patuxent tribe. This is the Feast of Thanksgiving was held in response to a good harvest that had occurred the previous year. And the story tells us that these two tribes had provided them food when they landed in the previous fall. So the Pilgrims had no food, really, probably pretty standard coming back. A lot of hardtack, maybe, coming from England. And these two tribes helped them survive the winter while at the same time providing them physical protection from the local Narragansett tribe. Apparently, these three tribes had some issues going on at the time. While it is possible that a feast did occur, there are additionally two other potential first Thanksgivings in New England, including a pilgrim holiday held in Plymouth in 1623 and a Puritan holiday held in Boston in 1631. So as far as the first Thanksgiving in America, we can say for certain it was 1619 in Virginia. The other three, at least two of them occurred, but we don't know if the 1621, the story we're all told, everyone gets around and eats the Native American food, is a story. I think it's apocryphal. Honestly, it sounds very apocryphal. Now, ironically, Puritan Thanksgiving is ironically inspired by Oktoberfest. So what you may not know is the Puritans were so extreme that they were actually kicked out of England before they came to America. So they found refuge in southern Netherlands, which is actually part of Germany. Because Germany wasn't a thing at this point in time. And they learned about the holiday, the Oktoberfest that was being held in southern Netherlands. Go figure. So they stole a drinking holiday and got rid of all the fun. Regardless of the first Thanksgiving, this holiday, which started a bit religious in nature, still has some of those tones, but it's really not a religious holiday anymore in America. It's really a true feast holiday. It's a family time for families to get together and to feast. But it's also a harvest festival. So why is it so late? Laura, any ideas why you would have a harvest festival in late November? Harvest occurs in October, September, October.
I got nothing.
Okay. Honestly, it was decided because in the late 19th century, prior to the late 19th century, Thanksgiving was allowed to be celebrated by any state at any time. So there was, whatever, like 30 different states with 30 different Thanksgivings. But in the late 19th century...
jump around.
Yeah, just have fun. But after Reconstruction, they decided that we would make it one day federally, and they decided to make it coincide with Evacuation Day, which is the day the British left the U.S. after the Revolutionary War.
Hmm.
So late November, that's when that occurred. But we're not really here for history. We went really deep on there for a little bit, and we're bringing it back. We're here for food. So we're going to help you provide a helpful guide for your palate. Laura, what constitutes a Thanksgiving meal?
I think that really depends on your family.
It does.
Andrew did some research, and it looks like he compiled a couple different polls to figure out what are the top Thanksgiving meal foods. So we'll cover these, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what other family traditions are out there. But according to the YouGov polling, the top 20 items are turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing or dressing, bread rolls, ham, scalloped potatoes, sweet potatoes and yams, gravy, green beans, mac and cheese, corn, potato salad, cornbread, green bean casserole, salad, glazed carrots, beef, chicken, broccoli, and deviled eggs.
On this list, they went far enough down that you found tofu at 18% of Thanksgivings, and they also had like fish.
So like it gave 30s. You a percentage yeah, of how many percentage. Thanksgivings.
So all these had more than 60% occurred on their list.
Of these, Andrew, which ones did you grow up maybe not having?
We always had green beans. I don't know if we had green bean casserole. Mm. And you would think with a vegetarian mom, we would have salad, but we didn't have salad that much. We definitely didn't have beef or chicken. Those were two that we didn't have. And broccoli, occasionally we'd have like a cheesy broccoli casserole, but we always had deviled eggs. We never had potato salad. There was always cornbread, no corn. Now I'm going through it, but we always had sweet potatoes. Usually that, the one with the marshmallows.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah. The marshmallow sweet taters.
This is Andrew's Southern Thanksgiving. Mine was very different.
I don't think we had scalloped potatoes, but we always had like more mashed potatoes than you could shake a stick at.
Yeah. So. We had the same.
Yeah.
We never had ham. We never had mac and cheese. Corn, potato salad,
mac and cheese,
cornbread. No,
oh, yeah, that makes sense. I've had Thanksgiving with your family, and I forgot.
Yeah, we don't do.
I forgot you don't have mac and cheese.
I think we should bring it back. We should definitely do it.
It's at our place.
And a deviled egg. I don't think I had until I married into your family.
They're good. They're good.
That's a lie. My grandmother makes them and stuff, but we don't have them at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, I also pulled a couple other lists. So this one's from 538. They broke out turkey a couple of ways. So yeah. So, and it's interesting to me that they're treating gravy as its own dish because both.
It's a side dish.
Everything maybe. Treated gravy as its own dish. Gravy is just the glue that keeps everything together.
I think I'm already liking this list better.
Yeah. So on 538, according to 538, turkey and the three types in order are roasted, smoked, then fried. Roasted was like by far and away number one, and then smoked and fried were pretty close. Smoked turkey though is absolutely divine.
I don't think I've ever had fried turkey.
We have never deep fried a turkey, and no. I'm not looking to start. I have all the.
If someone else does it, I'd gladly eat it.
We have all the equipment for it, but I'm not doing it.
No.
Spiral ham, stuffing.
I do love stuffing.
Mashed potatoes, roasted potatoes.
Yeah, just mash them.
Mashed sweet potatoes. Now, they did have another sweet potato I didn't put on this list, but they did have the marshmallow sweet potato as a separate dish. So this is like just like your mom's butternut squash casserole. It's mm-hmm. like that, but sweet potato.
No That's marshmallows on top.
No marshmallows on top. Yeah. Scalloped potatoes, cheesy potatoes, a lot of potatoes, butternut squash, sweet potato casserole. Good Lord. Green beans, cranberry sauce, green bean casserole, glazed carrots, Brussels sprouts, butter rolls, cornbread, biscuits, dinner rolls. And then three desserts, pumpkin pie, apple pie, and pecan pie.
So butter rolls are different than dinner rolls.
Correct.
My bad.
Yeah. Now, according to they broke it out by categories of food too. So I pulled like the top something from each category for as far as the bread was concerned. It was butter rolls at like 85%, cornbread at like 65%. Like that was the jump between number one and number two.
So for the is this Huffington Post?
Huffington Post. And they are just reprinting from House Method.
Gotcha. How about we identify the things that are different on this list?
Honey baked ham.
So yeah, honey baked ham. They spread out their split up the turkey as well. Yep. They do mention brownies, which I think is interesting.
Their desserts were wild. I was gonna just put the high ones, but like brownies was number like two, number three on their list for desserts.
Wow.
And then they had apple fritters, which actually had more hits than apple pie. So what they were doing is they're looking at the most searched for terms in a state.
Oh.
So it's a little different.
Yeah, because like I might search for like apple fritters or cookies to make around Thanksgiving, but I don't know if they serve it at Thanksgiving.
But only one state had apple pie as a searched item, and it was Vermont. But there's like eight states with apple fritter.
What if you don't need to search because you're using a family recipe?
It's still...
This is like relying on the millennials who are Googling how to... make these things.
I mean, yes, but
like, do you think our grandparents are Googling how to make their...
My grandmother can't Google.
Your grandmother? No. No, she cannot.
But yeah, regardless of how you slice this though, Thanksgiving is all about food. Tons of food, a lot of savory items.
Yeah, maybe family, but food.
Food. It's about food. A lot of savory items, not a lot of red meat. and a good blend of veggies, turkey gravy, a bunch of starches.
Sounds like a well-balanced meal.
Some cranberry sauce times for three that or four. Fruit. And so that's what we're here for. We're here for the food, but we also need something to drink. Got to wet that whistle.
Indeed.
You got to have a drink before and you got to have a drink after. So first disclaimer, when you are picking out your drinks for Thanksgiving to serve, think about what you are going to be eating. Not necessarily the details of the meal. How much are you going to be eating? I can promise you, I don't want to be having the thickest, tallest stout I could ever buy while I'm eating, you know, 8-9 dishes simultaneously.
Or while you're pre-gaming in the kitchen with your family.
Right. You don't want that.
Or on the porch.
You don't want that smoke.
Nope.
You may save that for dessert, but you don't want that for your appetizer. Don't start strong. Start light. So this means you want to avoid heavy beers and heavy wines. So avoid things like a New England IPA. Sounds silly. Why not drink them? They're very thick. They sit with you. They stick with you. So you want something light. And chewier reds and big bowl Chardonnays are probably not ideal either. So if you're thinking about your wine pairings, think about parts of the meal that complement each other. Cranberry sauce. Great compliment, right, La?
Very great compliment. Thank you for calling me that.
Mm-hmm. You're like a cranberry sauce.
That's very sweet.
Sweet and tart.
At the same time.
So that's a red fruit flavor. A little bit of sweet, a little bit of tartness. Not like a true sour, just like a little tart. So you want that same thing in your red wines. So you want to shoot for things like a Zinfandel, a Pinot Noir, a Beaujolais, a GPS, or a Grenache. What was that? Pinot Noir,
Petit Syrah,
or a Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blends. You want those Rhone blends, those nice French Rhone blends. And you may also want a Gamay.
I think I made up the one before. It's not Petit Syrah.
No, I think it's Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
And then maybe you want something bubbly, like a nice rosé champagne, a champagne with a little bit of color to it.
Does anybody else think, though, that bubbles fill you up?
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
I wouldn't do it.
It was something I found on one of these lists. It was like, the seven wines you got to have for Thanksgiving. And it's like, champagne. I'm like, maybe like after dinner?
Yeah.
Maybe before, to open your stomach a little bit with the bubbles.
I feel like it like fills me up in a weird way. Like, you're not really full, but you feel bloated. That's not what I'm going for.
Do it for the appetizer to help open the stomach a little bit. And then don't drink it with dinner. Drink a flat wine with dinner. That's what I'm suggesting.
That's Andrew's strategy.
Well, yeah, I won't talk about why I'm thinking that.
That's for the best.
As far as whites are concerned, a Sancerre, a Sauvignon Blanc, a Riesling, preferably a dry Riesling for my taste, a Chenin Blanc, or a dry rosé. Now, Laura, you and I both agree a dry rosé goes great with everything.
Yes.
Rosé all day.
Absolutely.
Rosé is drinking rosés.
It doesn't, like, it seems counterintuitive, but if it's dry...
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect match for a lot of stuff on the table.
A rosé, a nice dry rosé is very much like the first beer we're going to talk about when we get to the beer portion. It works well with just about every damn thing. It's like almost perfectly designed. It's a little bit of fruity. Some are a little tart, some are not. Maybe a Scotia sweet, but you really don't want a sweet. You want really dry, nice. I prefer French rosé personally, but I've had some good American rosés as well. As I said, avoid big oak flavors. Avoid Chardonnays. Avoid Cab Sauvs. Avoid those things for Thanksgiving. They're great for Christmas. They work well with the other, because the meals are slightly different. Even though there's a lot of similarities, the meal, specifically the meat or the main course, is such difference that you want to stick with something like what we've just mentioned, is lighter wines in general for Thanksgiving. So what about beer, La?
For beer, similar problem. You just have so much food going on that you want to stick to lighter things.
And beer like fills you up faster than wine does.
Yeah. So lighter is better. And this is technically a harvest festival.
There might be a hint about what we're going to recommend.
Yeah. But definitely like saisons. Andrew says Belgian sours. I don't know about that.
Like a nice light sour. Like, you don't want a big pucker. You want something from Belgium or New Belgium. Or it's like a place that knows like how to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sticking with that high acid theme like we talked about with some of the reds. So a Saison or Belgian sours are good options. And I'm very specific on saying Belgian sours.
Yeah.
Not a U.S. kettle sour. Not a Goza. Not a Berliner Weiss. Nice, light Belgian Flanders reds. Maybe an Oud Brume.
Because I can see what you're saying, like table beers and like a farmhouse ale that's got a little bit of tang or funk to it, but nothing that's going to wreck your palate while you're trying to enjoy all the food.
Like a good Flemish red should have those dark cherry cranberry notes, just like the sauce. So like, you're using that in a similar vein as like those lighter reds, those lighter red wines.
So if given a choice, Andrew, would you pair your Thanksgiving meal with wine or beer?
Personally, wine.
Same.
I think wine does better.
It's lighter. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe you want to have, a lot of beer. Maybe you want to pair a beer with each dish.
So you're going all out.
You have like a flight of beer in front of you while you're eating, and that way you can sip what you want.
That's a whole experience for you and your guests.
Uh-huh. So
how would you do it?
I wouldn't, but...
I would. This looks amazing. I like this menu.
So we found a menu, and it recommended for oven-roasted turkey, you should be drinking an amber or a brown ale.
Love it.
For a smoked turkey, a scotch ale or a porter.
Interesting.
For a smoked ham, pilsner or lager, which seems redundant, but all right. For veggies, a Hefeweizen or Saison.
Something nice and light.
For mashed potatoes and cornbread, spiced ale or winter warmer.
Ooh, I like.
Mm-hmm. And then for pies, a milk stout or a Dunkelweizen. So a nice dark wheat beer.
You're a little heavier for dessert.
Either way, prior to and during your dinner, you want to prioritize easy drinking beer and nothing that's too filling. As we've mentioned several times, this is at its fundamental core a harvest festival. And there is a beer that is literally designed for harvest festivals. It's called Oktoberfest.
Are you saying that's the perfect Thanksgiving beer?
I argue it is. Yes. Oktoberfest, if you have any left, it's perfect. Mainly because Oktoberfest are designed to go well with just about any type of food. Like a nice dry rosé, they really go well with just about anything. And they don't detract from the meal itself. You're not expecting the beer to carry the meal because the beer is a complement and it's perfect for that. So within that vein, though, nearly any lager is going to work. So like a Pilsner will work just fine if you don't have Oktoberfest. A Helles would be fine. If you like a bit of coffee, then a nice Schwarz beer will work as well. Helles Box and Helles in general are just a bit sweeter than both the Pilsner. I don't recommend a Doppelbock because those tend to be darker, or Dunkelweizen. But I do think like a nice Bock can be done well. Also, a Rausch beer works well if you can get hold of them. They're really good. Go Rausch. Once you go Rausch, you never go back. But as far as the lagers are concerned, you really only one you need to stay away from is Baltic Porters. They're just too much. It's too much. You can do the same thing with ales, though. Think lighter body ales. Lighter body is not lighter color. So you can still do a brown ale, scotch ale, amber ales, even a nice blonde ale or a winter warmer for your ales. But if you're doing a winter warmer, be very careful about the spices. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with something that tastes a lot like your pumpkin pie. Like a lot of allspice, a lot of clove. But once you've gotten through your dinner and you're ready for dessert, that's when it's time to bring out the big guns.
Ooh, yeah.
That's when milk stouts, Baltic porters, old ales, all those are on the table for dessert. Even a barrel-aged stout, a BBA, something like one of the beers I'll be recommending. Those can be really good for sharing around after you've had your meal and you just want to sit there and sip on something.
I was going to say, I'm pretty impressed if you are hitting dessert and you're able to whip out these big guns.
Well, yeah, you got to whip those out.
Normally, I've got zero room for the dessert to begin with. I'm not going to waste it on a... Well, maybe some of these are really good beers, but the thing. I don't know that I want to waste a good beer.
Yeah, you're not wasting a good beer. If you're enjoying it, you're not wasting it.
But I don't know that I would be enjoying it when I'm that full.
I think I remember two Christmases ago. Maybe it was last Christmas. It may have been last Thanksgiving. I tried to end on a KBS and I hated myself. I was so full.
See, you did not enjoy it like you should have.
I did not, no.
You didn't pay that beer respect.
I did not, no. But that brings me to what will be on my Thanksgiving beer list this year. First off, Oktoberfest. I have a couple. I save them. I always save them for Thanksgiving. And usually when I make an Oktoberfest, I try and make it ready for Thanksgiving. I don't bother trying to make an Oktoberfest for October. But when I make them for myself, I make them for Thanksgiving and Christmas because they go well with food. So this year we will be serving Sierra Nevada and Highland, as well as I do have some High Wire left. So I'll have a lot of Oktoberfest options. We'll also be serving the New Belgium La Dominga Fruited Sour. Tastes like a mimosa.
Hmm.
It's a little sour, but it's going to hit that same note that we were talking about before, that little tartness. We'll also be having, for the light beer drinkers out there, New Belgium Old Tuffy. Old Stuffy Lager, whoop, whoop. And then I have assorted homebrews that we'll have available. We'll have my blonde ale will absolutely be available. I think my old curmudgeon clone will be ready at that point. So we'll be having an old ale as well. And then for dessert, like I said, the big guns are coming out. I've got some Goose Island Bourbon County, KBS, and maybe a CBS might make an appearance.
I think you have to leave a disclaimer there, though. If you have room, don't force it, because that's a waste.
Right. I do recommend, though, if you're going to do like a big stout, those big stouts are best served a little warm. So as soon as you're done eating, you want to sit down, give yourself a few minutes to get ready. You can pour yourself a glass and just hang on to that glass for a while. Don't feel any need to drink on it. Just sip it like you would like a nice whiskey or bourbon, which is also a good choice for after dinner.
You want something a little lighter. Not as filling.
Not as filling. Yeah, you want something a little lighter. So that's what I'll be serving for our Thanksgiving. That's a little primer on the history of Thanksgiving and what you should serve at Thanksgiving. Let us know what you did serve. Send us some photos. Tag us and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to see what everyone's got, what everyone's plate looks like, and really, what's going on? What's going on with your Thanksgiving? Do you have anything to add, Laura?
No, I don't.
Thanks, Robin. All right, well, then, in that case, I'll take us home and get everyone off so they can start to cooking for Thanksgiving in a few days. Woop, woop. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us online at brew_news on Twitter and at Brew News Pod on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, Brew News Pod. You can follow Travis on Untapped at Mathernuts, and I am Tuba Steve. Let's see. Anything else? Oh yeah, if you have any suggestions for new breweries or like us to cover a style or a holiday, you can email us at brewnewspod@gmail.com. And I think that's it. So happy holidays, everyone. And we hope you drink local.
Happy Thanksgiving and cheers.
Cheers.